What's going on, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays as part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Suisse. I want to thank all the listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode is quite a busy one. We're going to have some news that we're going to talk about right off the top. And then, of course, as promised, we're going to be getting into our mailbag episode. Yes, thank you to all the listeners who asked questions. We're going to answer your questions. And if we didn't get to you, don't worry. We're going to have more mailbag episodes down the way. But without further ado, I'd like to please welcome back to the show, once again, MLB analyst, Jen Smith. Jen, welcome back.
It seems like every other day there's Blue Jays related news, and the past 24 hours has been exceptionally busy.
No doubt. I mean, it's certainly preparing us, I feel like, Jen, for the heat of the off season or the regular season when we're going to be breaking down games every day. So it's going to get us into that mindset right off the top, which is fantastic. But maybe we'll just say this. I mean, like there's a lot of ways we can go here, Jen. We could talk about Marcus Semien being represented by Scott Boras. We could talk about the New York Post article about Mark Shapiro and the New York Mets. Gold Glove finalists involving the Toronto Blue Jays and Robbie Ray getting a Player Choice Award. Yes, it's all happened within the last 24 hours as we're recording this. Jen, I'm going to punt it to you. Where would you like to go with this?
Let's start off with the hiring of Scott Boras by Marcus Semien. This was actually fun on Twitter because every reply or quote tweet related to it, everybody was now discounting their team from the Marcus Semien sweepstakes. So I actually thought that was kind of funny, to be honest. You know, what can you say? Marcus Semien is going to get paid this offseason, regardless of who represents him, right? He's hired somebody who has, you know, I mean, the fact that we all know his name, he's a player agent and we all know who he is, tells you just how, you know, prolific he is as an agent, how newsworthy he is as an agent. So I think it's interesting, but I don't think it necessarily means anything one way or the other in terms of, you know, what teams would be in or what teams would be out. Because like I said, regardless of who is going to represent him, Marcus Semien is going to do very well this free agency.
Jen, when you're a player agent that hosts your own news conference at the MLB winter meetings, as Scott Boras does on an annual basis.
And they're very well attended.
Very well attended. It is like the commissioner, the Players Association director, a big GM. That's what it is. So clearly, that's all you need to know about the influence of Scott Boras. The one thing I want to say is, though, Scott Boras, of course, represents Hyunjin Ryu. Of course, he was the one that got, you know, Ryu came to Toronto with Boras representing him. They got that four-year, $80 million deal done. Obviously, here, I think, look, you know, Marcus Semien's going to earn his bag. We saw what he did in the 2021 season, setting a new record in terms of home runs by a second baseman. So I think you're right. I don't think it changes that much. I still think, look, the Blue Jays are in this predicament right now where I just think that there's better suitors probably in the market right now that probably are more preferable for Marcus, particularly the West Coast. The Bay Area comes to mind. He's from the Bay Area, the San Francisco Giants, all that stuff. But yeah, Scott Boras, when his name gets tossed around, it certainly generates a lot of buzz on social media. But I don't think it moves the needle one way or the other in terms of the Blue Jays' plans or what happens. I just think that Semien's got the best agent probably in Major League Baseball, and he's going to get paid.
Well, you know what? He signed that one-year contract with the Blue Jays, right? He bet on himself, and so why not go and hire yourself the best representation you can get?
No doubt. No doubt. Let us now quickly turn to this news in this New York Post article by Kevin Davidoff, Joel Sherman, and Mike Piuma about Mark Shapiro. And this certainly generated some news jammed throughout Blue Jays Twitter when this broke. So I'm going to read this for a quote from the article. So an industry source said the Blue Jays denied permission for the Mets to speak to Shapiro, though it was extremely unlikely anyway that the longtime executive would bowl Toronto. And teams often issue a formal denial of permission, even if it knows the employee won't leave. Shapiro just signed a five-year extension this year, has built the Jays into a serious contender in the ultra-competitive American League East, and also wants to either renovate middle-aged Rogers Center or build a new ballpark in downtown Toronto. So, interesting, right? That Mark Shapiro's name has been brought up here. I mean, clearly, you know, again, shows the level of influence that Mark Shapiro has. I mean, he is a big name in the baseball world. What were your thoughts when you heard about this news?
Well, Mark Shapiro has taken a lot of flack by some in the Blue Jays fan base, maybe not so much recently with the signing of Ryu and Springer, but certainly, you know, when he came to town. And, you know, he, as you just said, he has a good reputation. He is well thought of. And I don't think he would have, you know, left Toronto. I don't. Clearly, the article, you know, states that he wouldn't have. But, you know, why would the Blue Jays give him permission to interview with the Mets, right? It's not a promotion that he was being offered, right? So, you know, there's no need for him to go and interview. I do think it's interesting that they mentioned in the piece that Mark Shapiro wants to either do a complete renovation of the Rogers Center or, you know, be involved in a new stadium being built, right? I thought that was great that that was put out there, that, you know, he would want to stay in Toronto because he wants to oversee whichever of those two projects ends up getting done. And so that bodes well for Toronto fans who are hoping for a better stadium experience sometime in the future.
Yeah, and I think any Toronto fan knows, like, Rogers Center is in desperate need of renovations. And I think, look, Mark Shapiro, is he going to be around to see the new stadium in its completion? Who knows? Because we all know that it takes a heck of a long time for a stadium to get built. I mean, it just does. There's a lot of things that have to happen. But I do think that he may be here for the approval, maybe the cutting the ribbon, putting shovels in the ground to start something, right? Because he wants to leave his legacy here. I think that's what this article really suggested as well, is in addition to winning championships and whatnot, which is the ultimate goal, I mean, he wants to, you know, leave his imprint on this franchise when he goes and moves on to another place or does something else. And what better way than either a complete renovation, but I think most likely, if it can happen, a new stadium.
Yes. And you know, you touched on two great points there, right? Building a contending team that will contend season over season, and getting a new stadium or, you know, major overhaul of the Rogers Center. Ultimately, the fans win on both accounts.
Final thing before we break, couple news items here. Of course, as we're recording this, Gold Glove finalists came out. And we had three Blue Jays nodded for the finals. We got Marcus Semien, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Jose Barrios, who will be nominated for the Gold Glove. And then Robbie Ray, likely to win the Cy Young, also got the Player's Choice Award. So, Jen, I mean, look, we talked about this when we discussed about the Silver Sluggers. A lot of this is going to be very common for the Blue Jays, given what the year they had. And I think this is no exception. And you look at, in the case of Semien and Gurriel, you know, they've had, you know, in terms of the awards and what they're nominated for, a pretty good start.
Absolutely. So, you know, Robbie Ray winning the American League's Outstanding Pitcher. As you said, he is probably going to win the American League Cy Young this year as well. And then I believe that with regards to these players' awards, Marcus Semien won the Marvin Miller Man of the Year. And Vlad Jr. Came second to Ohtani for both Player of the Year and American League Outstanding Player. So that sort of, I guess, foreshadowing, you know, and the MVP award, which we all know is going to go to Ohtani.
Sure.
But the news here, of course, is that, you know, quite a number of Blue Jays are being nominated and or receiving awards this offseason based on their work in 2021, right? Robbie Ray, Marcus Semien are free agents. The chances are they're not with the team next year, but, you know, it really does speak volumes of just how good of a team this was.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, this is a very good team. And we've talked about this, and they had a great season. And when you have a great season with a lot of great players, you're going to get these type of honors and awards. And this just comes with the territory. We are going to be moving on, Jen, to our much-anticipated mailbag in just a moment. But first, let's check in with our friends at Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There is something truly for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're passionate about their faves. I mean, look, somebody like, you know, brownie, salted caramel, orange, cookies and cream. I mean, there's just so many. Now, not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. You need to order Built Bar. Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, welcome back. This episode of Locked On Blue Jays, Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. I want to thank all the listeners for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. I also want to thank the listeners who asked us questions in our mailbag episode. We cannot thank you enough. You are greatly valued to us. So, Jen, without further ado, it's time for the mailbag. Let's deal out these questions.
Okay, here is our first question. Can the Jays afford to keep both Ray and Semien? This question comes to us from David Draper.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, probably. I mean, in theory, you can, right? I mean, in theory,
exactly.
You can, right? I mean, that's the yeah. You can find a way to deal up the money if that's the case. Probably, though, it's not going to happen. And we've talked about this on previous episodes, just where there's just going to be other teams that probably will give you more money, right? We'll give more money to Marcus and Robbie. So, look, I mean, the Blue Jays are going to try. They're definitely going to probably talk to the representations of Marcus and Robbie. But I just think that, given the years they had, there's just going to be other teams in the market that probably can just, you know, offer up more. And let's face it, those guys deserve it. Now, there's going to be other factors, like we talked about with Marcus Semien being closer to home. He's from the Bay Area. That's certainly going to be a factor. But I do think that the chances are for both of them coming back, I think, are next to zero. But they can definitely, if they wanted to, and both those players agreed to, they could definitely afford it in their plans.
Right. I agree. This ownership group theoretically could afford to re-sign both Ray and Semien. Business doesn't work that way, right? This baseball is a business and it simply doesn't work that way. And we did hear in Mark Shapiro's end of season press conference that while payroll will go up, this team is not expected to exceed the luxury tax threshold, right? And with, you know, other pieces that they need to acquire, right? You know, whether or not they're going to try to, you know, extend Vlad, extend Bo, extend Teoscar, and so forth, right? There's only so much money that this ownership is going to, you know, or any ownership really is going to put out there on the table. And you've got to figure, you know, both Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien are looking at, you know, $20 to $25 million a year with a fair amount of term coming their way, right? So, you know, again, as the Blue Jays, you know, become committed perhaps to Guerrero, to Bichette and so forth, you know, it's not even just the money, it's also the term. Are they willing to commit to that kind of a term to keep both of them? So, you know, if I had to guess, I don't think either one of them will be returning, simply because I do think other teams will end up probably making higher offers. And then there is the factor of Marcus Semien supposedly wanting to, you know, return, you know, to the Southern California area, and the fact that he probably sees himself more as a shortstop. My hope is that, you know, whatever the Blue Jays do offer, if they make an offer, that, you know, they're given sort of the opportunity to match or beat other teams.
The one thing I'll say is, look, at the end of the day, you know, Mark Shapiro said in his end of season media availability, we're going to talk, but it's all about getting better. Right. Like right. That's the mindset there. And look, even if they lose one or both guys, there are ways for this team to get better. It's not like Marcus Semien or Robbie Ray are the end all and be all. And to your point about term, everyone knows who's followed this Blue Jays franchise that they have to add extra term to get guys, right? They had to do it for Ryu. They had to do it for Springer. Right, basically.
They had to do it for Russell Martin.
Russell Martin back in the day, right? So that's just what happens in free agency. So look, I just think I agree with you. I think, look, is it a big loss? Absolutely it is. You just lost the guy that had over 40 homers, and you also had a guy that can, you know, that was the potential Cy Young.
Well, and you raise a really good point, which is that the team needs to get better. And there are other players that are out there that the Blue Jays could go after to fill these roles. And that kind of leads us actually into our next mailbag question. So we have this from Philip Parkinson. It's a two-part question. Have you heard rumors on payroll being $180 million? If payroll is that high, should they consider a run at Max Scherzer?
Jen, do you want to start us off there?
Yes. So first of all, I haven't heard any rumors on what payroll is projected to be. In 2021, the Blue Jays had an opening day payroll of approximately $135 million. And they ended the season around $150 million per sport track. So right now for 2022, they have $70 million currently committed. If you include estimated values for arbitration eligible players, they're sitting somewhere probably around $114 million. The 2021 luxury tax threshold was $210 million, and we don't know what it will be moving forward. That will be part of the CBA negotiation. MLB wants to decrease that threshold. Who knows where that will actually end up landing? So, you know, Mark Shapiro did indicate that the Jays will have an increased budget, but that they are not, you know, going to be above that luxury tax threshold. So if I had to guess, my guess would be that their opening day payroll would be around where they left off, around $150 million. And then depending on how the season is going and, you know, whether or not they need to add any big name players at the trade deadline, maybe their final payroll is around $180 million. That would be my guess.
Yeah. And to then go into, like, look, Mark Shapiro was talking about the whole payroll thing and whatnot, and he doesn't sound particularly worried about, you know, the whole payroll budget thing. And of course, that's a reasonable question given, you know, the ownership and whatnot. And I believe we have a question about ownership coming up in just a bit, so we'll save that for then. But look, Max Scherzer is an interesting one to me. And because I know that he carries his pedigree and, you know, one of the great pitchers in this generation and all that stuff. But did you see him in the postseason? Like, he had a dead arm at the end. Like, he couldn't even pitch. He couldn't even pitch concerning in game six.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, again, like, I know that Scherzer carries this pedigree and whatnot, but I don't know if he's necessarily the type of pitcher that you want to go after right now. I think you want someone that, you know, for me, you know, can get it done, who's younger, maybe has some control, who knows, because you want to build this rotation out going forward.
Well, Max Scherzer is 37 years old, and he has stated that he wants to pitch into his 40s. So any team signing him is probably looking at a three-year contract. He had a fantastic year. I mean, have you looked at his numbers? You know, he 2.46 ERA, which was the second lowest in baseball, a 68.5% contact rate, which is the third lowest, over 179 innings pitched. He finished with a 5.4 F-WAR, which was fifth amongst pitchers, a 0.86 WHIP. So, I mean, at 37 years of age, this guy is still getting it done, and he is an NL Cy Young candidate this year. So, you know, clearly Max Scherzer is still capable of pitching at an elite level. And then he has, of course, the experience that he brings with him, which, you know, is invaluable in and of itself. I don't know that the Jays would want to necessarily, you know, commit 3 years to a pitcher that is going to be in his 40s by the time the contract ends. Don Heyman speculated that his average annual value could be greater than $36 million, which was what Gerrit Cole signed for. Although, you know, interestingly, and of course, this is all just speculation, Bleacher Report ranked all of the teams in terms of their likeliness to land Mark Scherzer, and they ranked the Jays third. Now, who do you figure they ranked first and second?
I mean, Yankees? Is that in the mix? No?
Nope. So I'll give you a clue. Max Scherzer reportedly likes warmer weather.
Ooh. You're putting me on the spot here, Jen. You're putting me on the spot.
Yeah, you know, so
San Diego?
They ranked the Giants and the Dodgers.
Okay.
ahead of the Jays, right? Which would make sense. You know, the Dodgers are going to need pitching. And, you know, again, both teams, you know, are, you know, could afford to sign Max Scherzer. And if it's true that he would rather pitch in the warmer weather, then where better to do it than in sunny California? So, you know, it really is a very, very interesting question. If you just look at what he did this past season, you look at those numbers and you factor in the, you know, the caliber of player that he is, the experience that he has, you know, the awards that he has won, I think he'd be a really interesting pitcher for the Blue Jays to go after. I'm just not sure that they would want to give him, you know, the term that he is going to want.
Yeah, I mean,
and of course, of course, the dead arm. Of course, the dead arm in the postseason is concerning, right?
Hugely concerning. This is the MLB postseason, Jen. Let me remind you that it's the MLB postseason. I know this is a guy that's won the World Series, but this is the Dodgers. This is where you came to try to add another ring to, and look what happened with the dead arm. I'm not trying to diminish Max Scherzer in any way. This is a Hall of Fame type of pitcher who can obviously, you know, if he comes here, like that's going to generate a lot of buzz, a lot of interest.
But he was literally unable to pitch in that game.
Yeah. Like, he was not able to pitch. But the one thing I will say, though, is I also think that Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, like, what's he doing putting in there as a closer, right? Max Scherzer is not a closer. He's a 5-day starter. But the one thing I will say is this, though. It's that they're, to me, like, I look at guys, look, Max Scherzer led in terms of the free agents upcoming in 2021, 2022. He led in war with 7.2 at 37. It's still incredible. I mean, I'm not trying to diminish that. But, you know, you look at guys that are close behind. I mean, Kevin Gausman with the Giants had a 6.4 war. He had a 14-6-year 2.81 ERA. Now, will the Giants keep him? That's a question. You look at Carlos Rodon, he's a left-handed pitcher, 13-5 record. He had a better ERA than Scherzer, 2.37. He was with the White Sox in 2021. He made the All-Star game as well. So, I mean, Carlos Rodon's only 29 years old, Jen. Gausman's 31. I mean, that's where I agree with you that the term, because you want to sign Max Scherzer to a long-term deal, and then he then really declines. And then you're like, well, there you go, right? We didn't get what we wanted here out of Max Scherzer. And to me, teams are going to overpay. I think teams are going to overpay for Max Scherzer at this free agency because of what he did.
Well, and, you know, I would love nothing more than to tweet that Max Scherzer is a Blue Jay. Just because to be honest, right? Like, just, you know, I just think the amount of buzz that would generate. But I do think that there are, you know, as you mentioned, probably other pitchers that are better suited to the Jays' needs at this current time.
I'd be very, like, I, you look, never say never.
Nope.
Things can happen, but I'd be really shocked that he's in Toronto. Like, I'd be so shocked, Jen, that I would go buy a Scherzer jersey and wear it on the podcast just to say that. I would, because I'd be that shocked. I mean, I'm serious. But, you know, well, you never know.
If Max Scherzer signs with the Blue Jays, I don't think you'd be the only person buying his jersey.
For sure. Well, very interesting, though, conversation, certainly about the payroll and whatnot. We're going to take a brief pause, because this mailbag, Jen, you know, it's getting us fired up and ready for the season. I don't know about you, but it's certainly getting me fired up and getting ready for the season, talking about the great questions that our listeners are giving us. But we're going to quickly check in, though, with our friends at betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season, and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. All right, welcome back to the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the mailbag episode of the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. And of course, I want to thank all the listeners for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen, but also for the questions. And Jen, we have some more questions to get to.
We do. So, friend of the show, Twitter user with the handle at callmechris316, he asked, in your opinion, does the ousting of Ed Rogers mean good or bad news for the Jays?
Okay, so this is an interesting one. So I think the simple answer is neither of us know, right? Like neither of us, Jen, I don't know about you. I mean, I don't know you that well yet, but from hosting the show a few times, I don't think you're like a secret board member or anything, right? You know, I don't think so. You know, well, fingers crossed. You never know. It might be a huge reveal, but no, you're not. Neither am I. So we don't necessarily know how it's going to affect. But I do think it is interesting, though, because especially with not just the sort of family drama that's going on at Rogers and what's how it's affecting corporate governance, but I really think how this really affected the sports world is when the Toronto Star released an article about how Ed Rogers wanted Masai Ujiri out of the picture with the Toronto Raptors. I think that was interesting because I think within that article, It talked about how, you know, Ed Rogers didn't want Masai back, but Masai did come back and MLSC vetoed that whole thing and all that stuff. But it also talked about how there was this clause where potentially there was this, you know, potential idea where Ed Rogers wanted to spin off, if you will, the sports and media division of Rogers and make it its own media company, right? Make it its own entity. Because right now, for those of you listening who do not know, Rogers is a telecom company. Like that's their major focus. That's 90% of the business. It's a $1 billion company. That's the major part. Sports and media are very, it is a small slice of that big pie. And the Blue Jays are sort of in that mix as well. And it's relatively small, but very important. But for me, look, I think that Mark Shapiro gave me faith and confidence from his end of season media availability. Now, a lot has happened since. Keep that in mind. A lot has happened since. But Mark is a terrific liaison. He's demonstrated that already with how he's been able to get some of the big free agent acquisitions. And I do believe that even with this, I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal as maybe what you're seeing in the headlines right now in terms of the family drama. Now, talk about Rogers and Shaw with a business person. That's a whole other story. But with the Blue Jays, I don't think that big of an impact.
Yeah, when Ed Rogers was first ousted, my initial thought was, okay, to whom will Mark Shapiro make his final budget presentation, right? Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't really clear what exactly was going on. But Ed Rogers is still the chairman of the Toronto Blue Jays. He's still the control person with Major League Baseball. Those roles, as of right now, are unaffected, right? So from what I'm looking at with regards to the Blue Jays, you know, that would suggest that, you know, that budget meeting will take place as per usual. And, you know, whatever was going to happen at that meeting is what will happen regardless of the family drama and everything else that is going on, right? And, you know, it's harder to say long-term where this is going to end up. There was an article published by Christine Dobby of the Toronto Star a few days ago reporting that, you know, experts believe that Edward is likely to win the battle for control of Rodgers, you know, not without a fight, mind you, but that he is likely to ultimately win the battle for control. Whether or not that comes to fruition, again, you know, I'm not enough of a business person to know, but I don't think this means either good or bad news for the Blue Jays. If he is still the chairman of the Toronto Blue Jays, if he's still the control person with Major League Baseball, then to me, things with the Blue Jays as of right now are unaffected.
Yeah, and I think the concern would be if what would happen is if he is out of the picture and someone else is in the picture. And I think that is still too early to, you know, that is still TBD, too early to tell what's going to happen. But I think the bigger picture here, Jen, is ownership is important. Like, ownership is very important for the health and functionality of a major sports franchise. The best franchises in terms of winning, in terms of just profitability, in terms of just the overall health being healthy, it starts at the top, right? It starts at the top. And if you look at the history of the Blue Jays, like prior to Rodgers, like Labatt Brewery owned it. And like there were questions, right? Like there were questions about ownership and whatnot. And even Rodgers has had some questions. But if you can have a good partnership between the president of the Blue Jays, you know, president of baseball ops, in this case, Mark Shapiro, and ownership, and it's a healthy partnership, good things can happen. And I think that the better organizations, the ones that are healthy and doing well, it starts at the top with good ownership.
Agreed. And I don't think that relationship between Edward Rodgers and Mark Shapiro is affected by any of this, right?
No. Jen, I think we have our time for one final question in the mailbag.
Okay, so this question comes to us from Josh Kim. He said, I would love to hear you guys talk about where Jordan Groshans fits into the current Blue Jay system and when we can expect to see him at the big league level.
Well, let's just give a little bit of context here with Jordan Groshans, for those of you who don't know. I mean, he is sort of this, you know, touted as one of their top prospects right now in the minors. You know, he's certainly been talked about a lot of, if you follow the team, play shortstop, third baseman. He was drafted by the Blue Jays, the first round, 12th overall in 2018. If you look in 2021, I mean, he played double A in New Hampshire, and he had a slash line of .291, .367, .450, an OPS of .817, 7 home runs, 40 RBIs. You know, Jen, look, I think, this is an interesting piece, right? Because I think, again, we don't necessarily see him every day like the Blue Jays when we watch them, but you definitely hear things. You hear, you know, topics and whatnot about this guy. The big question is, and it goes back to a lot of what we talked about, is will we see it through with Jordan Groshans? Will we get to that level, or is he going to be part of the deal to get better in the short term?
Right. And, you know, as it stands right now, you know, with him playing shortstop, the Blue Jays have a shortstop. Right. And will hopefully have that shortstop for quite some time. So, you know, where does Groshans then fit into the picture? Well, you know, some evaluators think that he's actually best suited for third base. And so I could see a positional move to third base, you know, for that reason, right? For the fact that the Jays have a shortstop and the fact that he might actually be better suited to play that position. The question really for Groshans is, can he stay healthy? Right. So in 2019, he only played 23 games due to a foot injury. And then last year, he played 75 games, was shut down. I think he was on the IL in May and then was shut down at the end of the season with back pain. So I don't know that the Jays have, you know exactly what they have in him yet, especially given these injury concerns. So, you know, I would imagine, you know, I think his estimated time of arrival at the major leagues is sometime in 2022, but that will all depend on, you know, how he starts off his minor league season, where his health is at. And, you know, I'm sure the Jays want to see, you know, some development and see that he can stay healthy. You know, could they trade him? Sure. I think he would have to be part of a package. And I don't think they're going to just trade him for nothing, right?
No, like, no.
You know, they're going to need, he's their third ranked prospect. So they're going to need something, you know, quite valuable in return, right? So barring that, I would just imagine they want to see, you know, what kind of development he can reach this season. And in particular, you know, where his health is at.
See, it's interesting, Jen, because you talk about the third base, and it's an interesting time right now with the Blue Jays because they don't have a third baseman right now, really. And we've talked about this on previous episodes that this is obviously probably going to be one of their big off-season, you know, targets, topics, things they need to address, right? He's getting a third baseman. But like right now, like look who he would be competing with in spring training. Kevin Smith, Santiago Espinal, Kevin Biggio, Braylon Valera. So, but realistically, I think you and I would both agree that probably the Blue Jays are going to go after a third baseman in the offseason. Like I'd be pretty shocked if like those are the guys they roll out with, right? So if they bring in like hypothetically Jose Ramirez, that really, I think, probably means for Groshans, most likely then in AAA Buffalo for the majority of 2022.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put it this way. If Santiago Espinal is the Blue Jays opening day starting third baseman, I will go buy his jersey.
Yeah, not good. Not good. Yeah, there you go. There you go, for sure. I'll hold you to it.
I know you will. But, no, you're right, though. I mean, clearly that is an area of need that the Blue Jays need to address this offseason. And I think that this is, you know, one position that not only do they need to upgrade defensively, but, you know, get another, you know, another bat in the lineup, preferably one that is versatile. So I don't think, given who they already have, that has played at the major league level and, you know, whoever it is that they end up acquiring this offseason, you're right. I don't think Groshans, you know, really fits into the picture, at least not next season.
Interesting stuff. Well, that does it for our mailbag episode. I just want to thank everyone who asked questions to us. I really enjoyed this episode and, you know, enjoy interacting, of course, with the fans who are so passionate. We're really grateful for the questions that we got. Again, we're going to have more of these mailbag episodes because they're a lot of fun. We get to interact with you, the listeners, the fans, so stay tuned for that. But before I get into the wrap up though, Jen, where can people find you on Twitter?
People can find me at baseball_Jen, and that is Jen with two N's.
MLB analyst Jen Smith. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. We have a few more player reviews to do, but then, of course, a lot more off-season content, right? We even touched on some of the topics in this episode when you think of free agent targets, potential trades, the winter meetings are going to be coming up. Of course, what's going to happen with this CBA? All of that stuff is going to be brought up in future episodes, so please stay tuned. We're so close to pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training. I can feel it. It's going to be so fun. Now, make your second listen. Speaking of prospects like Jordan Groshans, why don't make your second listen of the day Locked On MLB Prospects? host Aram Layton is a prospect encyclopedia, let me tell you, and he's going to be going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available on all platforms like Locked On Blue Jays. It's also free and available on all platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find Locked On Blue Jays. All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening for this episode of Locked On Blue Jays. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. Have yourselves a wonderful night.